Oroville Dam situation is back. Engineers and construction crews worked furiously to fortify the Oroville Dam's damaged spillways and crippled power plant on Sunday, as forecasters warned that yet more heavy rain and possible flooding throughout Northern California were on the way. By Sunday afternoon, the California Department of Water Resources had released enough water from the Oroville Reservoir to lower its elevation to 852 feet, creating enough room to absorb runoff from incoming storms, including one due to arrive Sunday night, that could dump as much as 5 inches of rain on the site by Tuesday. But that's not all, folks. Yet another California dam is grappling with flood danger. With yet another major rainstorm pelting California, water agencies around the state are preparing for flooding as the state's infrastructure strains under the onslaught of water. Officials are still working to lower the water level behind the Oroville Dam, where last Sunday rising waters threatened to cause a catastrophic failure of the auxiliary spillway. But another reservoir is expected to use its auxiliary spillway for the first time in 20 years, potentially causing flooding downstream. Don Pedro Reservoir, which supplies water to nearly 6,000 farms in the San Joaquin Valley, has filled quickly in the last month, rising above levels recommended by flood control engineers. Operators are releasing as much water as possible to make room for anticipated storm runoff. The lake level is hovering around 826 feet in elevation, close to the 830-foot maximum. But with almost 5 inches of rain expected on Monday and Tuesday, officials say if the forecast pans out, they might need to open their controlled spillway. The last time the spillway was used was in 1997. Parts of Modesto were flooded. The storm came on fast, says Herb Smart, spokesman for the Turlock Irrigation District, which co-manages Don Pedro. This time, we are looking at flows, and the forecast, if the forecast holds, that are nowhere near the flows in 1997. Still, Smart says they're working with the Stanislaus County Office of Emergency Services to identify which areas are now at risk. It's tough to tell at this point, but we would expect some localized flooding at certain points on the Tuolumne River that are more low-lying areas, says Smart. Water flow to the spillway is controlled by 3 45-foot gates that lead into a rock channel that was carved out when the spillway was last used in 1997. From there, it rejoins the Tuolumne River, as you can see in the picture there. Female head teacher is forced to work from home following death threats from Muslim parents over her offensive clothes, amid fears there is a Trojan horse plot to Islamicize the school. Trish O'Donnell of Clarksfield Primary School in Oldham has been threatened. She has endured harassment and intimidation by conservative Muslim parents. My goodness. It is feared that they are making a Trojan horse attempt to Islamicize the school. Furious parents have complained that the way she dresses is unsuitable. A primary school head teacher has been forced to work from home by death threats from Muslim parents who hate her Western values. This is ridiculous. Trish O'Donnell, head of Clarksfield Primary School in Oldham, has endured harassment and intimidation in the form of aggressive verbal abuse and threats to blow up her car from parents pushing conservative Muslim ideals. It is feared they are making a Trojan horse attempt to Islamicize the school. Parents have complained that the way she dresses is unsuitable and that pictures of her daughters in her office are offensive. The school is mostly filled with Pakistani pupils who do not speak English as a first language. A section of its website titled British Values only reads Coming Soon. Since becoming head in 2006, Mrs. O'Donnell has taken the school Ofsted rating from needing improvement to good. So this isn't like some, you know, the stories that we've been seeing lately of the teachers who have been doing disgusting acts with children. This is what I assume, because I don't know her, but from reading the Daily Mail's article, it's a pretty good lady. She took the school from needing improvement to good. So this isn't like a one-off situation. You get what I'm saying, right? But somehow, the individuals who have threatened her have not been arrested yet. Last time I checked, threatening to blow someone's car up, yeah. By now, she feels her position is untenable due to the pressure from Muslim parents trying to change the school from within. According to an Oldham Council report seen by the Sunday Times, she wrote that she had a very strong reason to believe that a Trojan horse agenda is being played out. And the head teachers' union, the NAHT, said it was supporting a number of members in the Oldham area with a variety of apparent Trojan horse issues. The council report says the school's 2013 parent governor, Nassim Ashraf, hosted Islamic teaching sessions at the school, while his wife, Hafizan Zaman, made remarks to Asian staff members that they should be wearing a veil and covering their heads. They took exception to Hindi music being played in class, were angered by sex education, and were accused of intimidating staff and undermining the head teacher. The report said they tried to mobilize parents to secure changes at the school to reflect their interpretation of Islam, but did not suggest they were involved in the violent threats. Ashraf's sister, Shasta Khan, is serving 8 years in jail for plotting to attack Jews in Manchester. It just doesn't get any clearer than that. She's friends on Facebook with Tahir Alam, the architect of a similar Trojan horse plot on several schools in Birmingham in 2014. In the plot, activists launched a campaign to oust head teachers using dirty tricks, such as spreading false allegations and packing governing bodies with their supporters. Wow. Seems like something was also taking place in the U.S. with the Muslim Brotherhood. You see, I don't think people recognize the threat. What's been going on lately with this campaign? I'm not talking about with Trump. I'm talking about, of course, under Obama. Trying to subvert the Western world into accepting and tolerance and just demoralizing what we believe in the West to accept Islam and Sharia law. It's not right. It totally contradicts the Constitution, yet we have people who are in government who are in support of Sharia law. In fact, the biggest march that was anti-Trump, of course, was the Women's March, which was led by a woman who is a massive supporter for Sharia law. It doesn't get any clearer than that. Mr. Faraz, a former deputy head teacher of the Trojan Horse-linked Nansen Primary School, is under an interim teaching plan, while Mr. Alam was banned from any involvement with schools by the Department of Education, DFE. Clarksfield Primary's chairman of governors, Saima Kawusar, and Mrs. O'Donnell declined to comment. Ashraf denied any Trojan Horse plot, but said he wanted to remove Mrs. O'Donnell because the school was failing. A spokesman for Oldham Council, Cabinet Members for Education Amanda Chatterton, said, "We take any allegations about our schools very seriously. The report into Oldham Primary School found no basis to the Trojan Horse allegations." Oh, and of course, they didn't even discuss the death threats that she was receiving. It's called a Trojan Horse. U.S. aircraft carrier group deployed for routine patrols in South China Sea. Ignoring repeated warnings from Beijing not to aggravate tensions in Southeast Asia, the U.S. Navy has deployed an aircraft carrier strike group for routine maritime patrols in the vicinity of the disputed South China Sea waters. The Nimitz-class aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson, together with aircraft from the carrier Air Wing and the Arleigh Burke-class guided missile destroyer USS Wayne E. Meyer, started routine operations in the South China Sea, the U.S. Navy announced. Excuse me. The deployment of the carrier strike group, CSG, one, began Saturday, just days after China issued a stern warning to stay away from the area. China has indisputable sovereignty over the South China Sea islands and their adjacent waters. China's foreign ministry spokesman Zheng Shuang said Wednesday, China respects and upholds the freedom of navigation and overflight in the South China Sea, which countries enjoy under international law, but firmly opposes any country's attempt to undermine China's sovereignty and security in the name of the freedom of navigation and overflight. Despite the warning, U.S. patrols got underway in the disputed waters right after an American flotilla held drills off the islands of Hawaii and Guam to maintain and improve their readiness and develop cohesion as a strike group. The training completed over the past few weeks has really brought the team together and improved our effectiveness and readiness as a strike group, said Rear Admiral James Kilby, commander of CSG-1. We are looking forward to demonstrating those capabilities while building up building upon existing strong relationships with our allies, partners, and friends in the Indo-Asia-Pacific region. Now, of course, again, we're in a multipolar world order. We're going to see the alliances shifting. We're going to see tensions just mounting. Bill Gates is warning of an epidemic that will kill over 30 million people. Bill Gates, the almost trillionaire, Bill Gates, the individual who is responsible for a lot of vaccine-related deaths, who is also being sued in India because of his ties to Big Pharma and the crimes he's committed. Bill Gates, the eugenicist, is warning of an epidemic that will kill 30 million people, over 30 million people. You see, at this point, understanding what he is exactly warning about, he is just foretelling of what he's going to do. Bill Gates is a smart guy who knows something about global health. So when he gives a grave warning about a potential catastrophe, it's a good idea to listen. Yesterday at the Munich Security Conference in Germany, the man who tops the Forbes Richest Person in the World list and is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation said, "Where it occurs by a quirk of nature or at the hand of a terrorist, epidemiologists say a fast-moving airborne pathogen could kill more than 30 million people in less than a year, and they say there is a reasonable probability the world will experience such an outbreak in the next 10 to 15 years." I'm wondering who the terrorist is. I think his name is Gates, first name Bill. Notice that this was at a security conference and not a health meeting. Therefore, he could have focused on some other issues, such as nuclear weapons or climate change, but Gates chose to focus on infectious disease threats, whether starting naturally or used as bioterrorist weapon, for good reason. Our society is in need of a good wake-up call and a slap in the face. Yeah, definitely. Wake up, folks. Let's go. Our society is woefully underprepared for a bad pandemic. This was obvious in 2009 when I and Sean Brown, PhD Director of Public Health Applications at the Pittsburgh Supercomputing Center, PSC, were embedded in the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, to use our computational models to help with the national response to the H1N1 influenza pandemic. People in HHS were working very hard each day to mobilize the national response. However, the external resistance that they encountered was troubling. Many external parties put their own individual or business interests in front of national security and were reluctant to share information. Some of the general public questioned whether the pandemic existed and even raised a number of conspiracy theories. Fortunately, the virus was not as harmful as initially thought, and the world was spared real disaster. Was the H1 pandemic a wake-up call for society? Not really. Maybe a slower progressing epidemic that resulted in more deaths and disability would do the trick. After the H1N1 pandemic ran its course, more attention focused on the continuing epidemics of MRSA and other antibiotic-resistant bacteria. This is the issue that science and medicine has created today. They have given us so many frickin' antibiotics that it's made the water. I mean, you can find antibiotics in water now, folks. By the time a child is like 3 years old, they've already had a couple doses of antibiotics. So what nature is doing is overcoming it. And this, of course, is just creating the antibiotic resistance. Thanks to GMOs and, of course, Monsanto. They've created this problem. And now, of course, they're going to have an answer for it. And of course, one of the biggest players in the world in this field is, of course, warning that an epidemic will kill over 30 million people. It's just got to make you wonder, what role is he going to play? You see, this guy is also a very heavy pusher of climate change. But what's really interesting is climate change still has yet to actually be proven. What? Yeah, it does. Combine with what's on your screen right now, Princeton professor, climate change activists are a cult, and what the NOAA scientists revealed recently, stating that the information was manufactured or manipulated to push an agenda. And of course, that agenda was none other than getting the Paris Accord signed. then what this Princeton professor is claiming is actually quite true. Climate change activists are a cult. On Friday, Scott Pruitt was confirmed to lead the Environmental Protection Agency under the Trump administration. Pruitt, who has been harshly criticized by climate change advocates, believes the role human activity plays in causing climate change is up for debate. Now, this is a different tune than what we're used to hearing. You do not have a voice. Climate change is the law of the land. You can shut up, you crazy conspiracy theorist. They're acting like a cult. And it needs to stop. President Trump has not been shy about his contempt for how the EPA has been run. At one point during his campaign, even saying he wanted to eliminate the agency altogether. Climate change activists view Pruitt's confirmation as a step away from the progressive agenda laid out under President Obama. However, Princeton physics professor William Happer believes that this cult of activists often has little evidence to back up its claims about what is actually causing global warming. Just go back a few years ago and type in, I shouldn't say go back a few years ago, go onto Google and type in ClimateGate. The data is made up. They make up the data. It's got to make you wonder, how much data are they just actually manipulating? And what in the world are they manipulating it for? It's about control. It's always about control. Population, reduction, and control. And it is insane how these people have gotten away with it for so long. Evolution. You heard that right. The secret Luciferian spiritual origin to one of the biggest hoaxes in history. Evolution. Now, a lot of people are going to say, well, there's so much data that proves it now. Yeah, data can be manufactured or it can be manipulated. It can be created and made up. That's what people don't realize. We need to go back and examine the motives and, of course, who influenced certain individuals that played a role in evolution. Science and evolution, or evolution, are continually carried out as fact and theory in regards to how things got started around here. But in reality, it's where those facts and theories got started that explains why Christian creationism should be the dominant teaching. I'm going to explain this to you in the best way I possibly can. Maybe a lot of you already know this, maybe some don't. For those of you who have studied it, I'd love to hear your opinions on it. This is me gathering the evidence of the people who are involved in creating the evolution theory. It is a theory. It's not fact. Since the beginning of time, a war has raged, and while the details have remained similar, the methodology has changed. The Bible dictates this war in perfect detail and clearly states that God has won. It also clearly states that we as Christians are to be opposed to the ways of this world. And as the ways of this world continually combine into one, the Christian must be separate or holy. The Bible, written over the course of creation and history, has dictated the events of today with such incredible accuracy that it could not have been authored by man alone. On a side note, I want you to think of something here. If the Bible was just written by man, would someone please inform me how a guy thousands of years ago wrote things on stone, his name is Moses, and they still are holding true to today, even with the latest technology and science? Think about how cool that is. Because the Bible is true. Moses didn't have the telescopes and all these little microscopes and technology and all these things that we have today. Yet, what he wrote is the direct competitor to what they're writing, to what they're producing and manipulating and manufacturing. That means something. It does. The purpose of this post is to further arm the Christian in dealing with the ways of this world. We're going to compare this. All life on Earth shares a common ancestor known as the Last Universal Common Ancestor, LUCA, which lived approximately 3.5 to 3.8 billion years ago, although a study in 2015 found remains of biotic life from 4.1 billion years ago in ancient rocks in Western Australia. That right there is a contradiction. That's a big difference in time. And we're going to see that a lot if we were to look at the data, a lot of different contradictions. But this is all I want to leave you with before this right here. I want you to think about that. A guy today is going to tell you what happened 4.1 billion years ago. Now, according to Genesis, the book of Genesis, God created the world in 6 days. And on the sixth day, God created man. See Genesis 1. Now, as I said earlier, I'm not going to get into the data of all this. We're just going to keep going, okay? Into the actual people who created the theories. Evolutionary theory is largely derived from Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace's theories of evolution, explained in detail in Darwin's On the Origin of Species, 1859 book, although Jean-Baptiste Lamarck, was the first to develop a coherent evolutionary theory. However, evolutionary thought can be traced back to the ancient Greeks, Romans, and Chinese, as well as medieval Islamic science. Okay, so far we have this theory of evolution, which is now they're saying that we can trace everything back to Luca or Luca, a common ancestor or a common cell or whatever you want to call it. I wonder if it's in the shape of an egg. And then we have this guy named Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace and some other guy named Jean Lamarck. Okay? All right, so let's keep going. A significant portion of evolution was derived from Charles Darwin's book and his book, Origin of Species. Darwin himself was an agnostic, influenced by spiritualists. However, the co-author of the book, Alfred Russel Wallace, was not agnostic at all. In fact, he was a devotee of spiritualism. Let that sink in. He was heavily involved in spiritualism. That included pantheism, paganism, occult ideas, and practices. Wallace's beliefs directly coincide with the New Age movement. And within the New Age ideology lies an alarming coalition between spiritualism and science. Even further, there was an alarming correlation between Hindu occultism, the New Age movement, and evolution. Within Darwin and Wallace's theory of evolution, or natural selection, is the belief in a tree of life, or a universal tree of life. Although Darwin propagated the theory, it was also discovered in Jean Lamarck's writings as well. Lamarck produced the first branching tree of animals. The tree of life is often prescribed to the New Age philosophy and can be traced back to the mysticism of the Kabbalah, as well as can be discovered in Hindu teachings, ancient Iranian teachings, and even in ancient Egyptian teachings. There's nothing new under the sun, folks. There is significant evidence that evolution is based on occult mysticism rather than science, which can be further understood by William W. Weisinger, M.D., who authored a report for the New York Times. Did you just hear that? For the New York Times. This guy is against evolution, writing for the New York Times. On November 27th, 1989, in regards to the California curriculum battle, William claimed. You wonder, hang on, let me continue. I'm getting ahead of myself. The process of general evolution could theoretically be reproduced through experimentation, but it never has been. Though speciation has been demonstrated in laboratories, no event beyond speciation has ever been demonstrated. Charles Darwin clearly delineated the differences between speciation and general evolution, and noted that the support for general evolution would have to come from the fossil record. In The Origin of Species, Darwin noted that without the appropriate fossil evidence, which did not exist in his day, his general theory would hold no weight. He and others tenaciously clung to the hope that the unfolding of the fossil record would show all of the intermediate forms necessary to support his claims. Today, however, with more than 100,000 species represented in fossils, the lack of intermediate forms is even greater than it was in Darwin's day. Not only has the fossil record failed, but findings of modern scientists have made general evolutionary theory even less tenable. In Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, for example, Michael Denton methodically analyzes a wealth of evidence that challenges this theory. His subjects include the failure of homology, the typological nature of microbiology and problems associated with chance as a directive force, in addition to the lack of a supportive fossil record. Contrary to popular belief, many people disagree with the theory of general evolution, and the idea that all opponents base their views on religious belief is groundless. Michael Denton is neither a creationist nor an evangelical Christian, and his book is one of several to challenge evolution in scientific terms. Moreover, having religious beliefs does not prelude the ability to reason scientifically. Many great scientists, Isaac Newton, Carolus Linnaeus, and others were devoutly religious. Even in Darwin's day, scientists who opposed evolution were charged with rationality and religiosity, but they did not attack evolution on religious grounds. Rather, they protested its lack of scientific proof and pointed to the evidence that supported a typological nature. The creationists were attacked as scientific heretics, while supporters of evolution, refusing to admit the lack of evidence, became the true heretics, replacing scientific foundations with metaphysics. This was posted in the New York Times. What William describes is that those who propagated evolution were in fact scientists fascinated with metaphysics rather than actual science. Interestingly enough, after one glance at who propagated evolution, it is no wonder it is so popular today. The infamous Huxley bloodline is in large part responsible for the distribution of evolution. The Huxley family was a large part of creating the League of Nations, and who happened to also be eugenicists. We've heard this word before. Eugenics is an elitist term. And I'm telling you now, it is what they have planned. Thomas Henry Huxley was the grandfather to Aldous Huxley, author of The Brave New World, Julian Huxley, evolutionist and the first director of UNESCO. Well, look at that. And Nobel Laureate physiologist Andrew Huxley. Thomas Huxley was the first to apply the theory of natural selection to humanity to explain the course of human evolution. Before Darwin, even he was opposed to the earlier ideologies of evolution put forth by Lamarck and Robert Chambers. Huxley claimed that progressionist evolution was based in metaphysics rather than actual science. Although Darwin's bulldog, Huxley, altered his beliefs based on the book written by Darwin and Wallace, which is evident in the letter below. Which, of course, if you want to read this letter, just come to the website, christiantruther.com. Huxley, again, was one of the first adherents to Darwin's theory of evolution by natural selection and did more than anyone else to advance its acceptance among scientists and the public alike. So the Huxley bloodline were the people responsible for propagating this theory. Okay? Eugenicists were responsible for pushing this theory. Let that sink in. Thomas's grandsons, Aldous and Julius, both saturated with the ideology of their grandfather on evolution, began their own studies, which led them to become proponent eugenicists. Julius Huxley, however, was by far more influential than Aldous, even though Brave New World is what's read in a lot of schools around the world. Being that he was the first director of UNESCO, do you know what UNESCO is? UNESCO, United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Well, it's no wonder this theory is so popular. Is one of the largest organizations for education in the world, most of which was founded and directed by eugenicists and evolutionists. It is no wonder that evolution is such a prominent theory today. Darwin's Origin of Species book also granted Karl Marx the enthusiasm he needed to create the Communist Manifesto. Karl Marx called the book which contains the basis in natural history for our view. Do you realize? So, evolution is what gave Karl Marx the basis for their view. Meaning that Darwin's ideology of evolution is the basis of Marxism and communism. However, Karl Marx did not generate his ideology alone. In fact, Thomas Huxley greatly helped. So, the people who propagated evolution also created Marxism, Now, just a quick Google search and you'll find this. The political and economic theories of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, later developed by their followers to form the basis for the theory and practice of communism. Do you see where this is going? Do you see where it's come from? And do you see what it built? Karl Marx did not generate his ideology alone. Thomas Huxley greatly helped. The grandfather to an individual who was the first director of UNESCO. In 1862, Marx made a point of attending the public lectures on evolution given by Darwin's supporter, Thomas Huxley, and encouraged his political associates to join him. Wilhelm, a friend and comrade who often visited the Marx family in London, later recalled when Darwin drew the conclusions from his research work and brought them to the knowledge of the public, we spoke of nothing else for months but Darwin and the enormous significance of his scientific discoveries. It is incredibly evident that the theory of evolution was the basis for Marxism. In other words, Darwin's theories have created the belief that humans are not a special species. Instead, it has created the belief that humans are merely animals, which gives rise to the idea that life is not sacred at all, but rather it is disposable. Below is video evidence of that narrative and is a clip from the documentary film Evolution vs. God. And in this clip, you've got to see it. You cannot miss it. You've got to see it. It's incredible. It proves everything. He simply just goes on the street and asks a couple questions. Come watch it. And it proves a lot. Darwin's theories on evolution and the origin of life are mainly based on a single-cell ideology. According to the single-cell theory, everything on Earth and Earth formed a single cell some 3.5 to 4.1 billion years ago. Interestingly enough, the single-cell ideology can also be traced to spiritualism and mystical occult teachings. In Hinduism, the second oldest religion, Judaism is the first. It is widely supported that everything formed from a golden womb or a golden egg, which has been quote-unquote poetically translated into the universal germ. Now do you get it? The Hindu belief, literally the golden womb or golden egg, poetically translated as universal germ, is the source of the creation of the universe or the manifested cosmos. That's, of course, according to the Hindu belief. Hinduism, which is totally at war with Christianity. You didn't see any gun, any bullets, none of it, right? Yeah, because they're slowly trying to change the belief and subverting what Christianity actually is. And over generations, they're being victorious. How many people do you know go to yoga? The striking similarities between evolution and spiritualist ideologies should raise stark questions about just why evolution came about and who is exactly behind the push to prove evolution over creation from the biblical narrative. It also should make you wonder why in the hell they have a Hindu statue at CERN where they're studying the origin of the universe. It can be easily summed up that proponents of the elitist occult societies of the world have pushed Darwin's theories to the limelight and further fomented the ideology of evolution for one simple reason: control. It's all about control. You wonder what climate change is? It's about control. When humanity is not viewed in a sacred light, it becomes easier to mass murder individuals. Karl Marx proved that. Because of communism, Karl Marx proved that. And of course, as I just showed you, Karl Marx got his enthusiasm, of course, for the Manifesto off of Darwin. When humanity is not viewed in a sacred light, humans become no more than animals. It could easily be justified to enslave humanity. Understanding the motives behind evolution and the modern metaphysical science again brings into question the reality that yet again the Bible spoke of these times. You know, the book that, of course, was written many, many, many years ago, but still holds true to today. Okay. And they are called the end times. In these days, according to Scripture, science will increase. I don't think I miswrote that. It's actually science will increase because the Bible says knowledge, but not science. But wait, science is derived from the word scientia in Latin, which means knowledge. The Bible again describes that knowledge will increase in those days, according to Daniel 12:4. Man's desire for knowledge is what began all of this. In the Garden of Eden, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 through 17, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Thou shalt eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt die the death." And what happened? And where are we? And what are they still doing? According to the Bible, deception comes from the serpent. According to Hinduism and the New Age movement, knowledge is imparted to an individual after the awakening of the Kundalini serpent spirit that lives at the base of the spine and expands to the top of the head. To learn more about the deception of Hinduism and how it is woven into the New Age, how it is woven into the New Age movement, and how it is subverting the church, go to ChristianTruther.com. Sign up and become a member and check out our latest exclusive. We've got another one coming out this Thursday, I believe. Hopefully it'll be Thursday. You guys have to understand who exactly is behind it all. And I'm hoping that this article here helps you. It is the same attack, whether or not they have the supposed data to prove it. It's the same ideology over and over and over again, propagated by the same people. The ideology of communism, Marxism, and evolution are incredibly similar. Life is not sacred. Enslavement is easy. Freedom is not. With Jesus Christ comes freedom. Seek ye the truth and be set free. There are the ways of this world. Every Christian should be in opposition to it. But that's not the case, is it? The church today is largely different than what it looked like many years ago. Of course it is. But the messages being taught are not scripturally based. If they were, we would not have this subversion problem. And Hinduism would not be attacking the church so successfully. There's a lot more to this. Now, of course, a lot of people are going to jump on this and say, well, the data, we have so much more data today that proves evolution than what Charles Darwin was saying. That's wonderful. My God still created this earth. Creationism still rings true because you have no idea who is pushing that data. Data sets can be easily manipulated. They can be easily manufactured, especially in today's age. We have to keep that in the constant. We have to understand that. One quick search on Google can bring up ClimateGate, and that can easily disprove what's actually going on with the climate. They manipulated the data to push the agenda. Evolution has an agenda, a massive agenda for control and eugenics. Eugenicists pushed and propagated the theory. There it is. You decide. But I encourage you to seek Jesus Christ and be set free. That's all I've got for you. God bless and carry on.